Hey, look, we've all been there. Stress from work, restless nights, your mind racing when you're trying to wind down. What if I told you there's a natural way to feel calmer and to sleep better? That's where CBDFX comes in. And let me tell you, they've got this figured out. They've got something for everyone, from sleep gummies to CBD capsules and topicals. Take their CBD and CBD night capsules, for example. These are designed to help you fall asleep quickly and stay asleep throughout the night. They contain CBN, what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid, plus other natural sleep aids. And their original mixed berry CBD gummies have actually won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards. They provide gentle, calming effects that boost your overall well-being with a delicious natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been around since 2014, so they know what they're doing. Everything's made right here in the USA with organic hemp. No GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, plus third-party lab reports back everything up. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, my listeners can get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX.com. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
And we're going to play till there's a winner and there's
or
a loser.
A tie.
What's that?
A tie.
Okay, till there's a winner, a loser, or a tie. You can tie.
If you tried to end a game in a tie in the United States, heck, that might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Once it hit something there, wow. Incomplete. If he just put that out of the back of the end zone, they would have run out of time. So McManus is on for the game-tying field goal.
I mean, once you get down inside of 10 seconds, anything can happen. Love could have scrambled around. He gets the ball out of his hands, but my goodness, that was terrible.
Here is McManus for the tie from 34. And this one is good, and this one ends in the second highest scoring tie game in NFL history. 40-40. Each team got it once. Each team got a field goal.
Wow.
And all you can do is just say, all right, that's it. No more.
It's your job. I give you money.
You never say thank you.
That's what the money is for.
That's crazy. It would have been on a talk radio show like Sports Chat or Sportzilla and the Jabberjaw.
Feeling down and dirty, feeling kind of mean.
What the hell was even that? A tie on Sunday Night Football. The most unsatisfying way to end a hotly contested and loosely defended professional tackle football game. We have ourselves a scoreagami, a tie-agami. 40-40, that's your final in overtime from Big D. How you doing on a Monday? Apologies for the late delivery of today's product. Normally, you'd have this fresh in your podcast feed at no later than 6 a.m. Midnight, if you are a subscriber, go to zabe.com/premium, be a $5 a month subscriber. Get these products delivered even earlier to you. But there was so much going on this weekend and Sunday, end of the regular season in baseball, the Ryder Cup, week 4 in the NFL, college football week 5. I've got 4 different note cards here to go through. But let's start with the Sunday Nighter. I hate ties so much. There are 3 things in life that I hate. Three sports things that I hate beyond any other hatred and disgust for and contempt for. And that is, number one, replay. Number two, netting at hockey arenas and the extended netting at baseball stadiums now. And the third is ties. We have been systematically hunting down and eradicating ties, in America at least. At every chance for a tie, every instance of a tie, college football, goodbye. The tie is gone. I'm old enough, as are many of you my age, to remember the awfulness of watching football games end in a tie. College football games, including games for big bowls that would affect the national championship. Mythical national championship, as it were, because it was voted upon, but well, we had to declare somebody a national champion. So we got rid of ties in college football. In hockey, there used to be ties in the regular season. And then they're like, all right, well, we'll go to overtime, and then we'll do a shootout. And then, you know, you got to have a winner. This is a product. Americans want wins or losses. It's that simple. Then we had, in baseball, the realization of, well, we could get an actual outcome for these extra inning games in the regular season, but sometimes they take forever, like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 innings, burning up pitching staffs left and right. Nah, let's create a little way to do it, a little mechanism. I know a lot of you still hate the ghost runner and the fakiness of the 10th inning in the regular season, but it was smart. It got rid of the marathon win, which was kind of a cousin, a kissing cousin, if you will, to the tie. And then, you know, we should get rid of it in the Ryder Cup, but that's a whole different story. I believe that the better way to have the Ryder Cup decided is not 14 and a half for the losing team, is to literally have overtime or to literally have sudden death. That would be fantastic. So, Cowboys, Packers, tie, Matt LaFleur, gutless, playing for a field goal and almost fucking that up. They were 1 second from disaster because the operation was not smooth enough. And you can blame Jordan Love. Don't you know the clock is winding down? You don't have time to throw the ball into the end zone like that, or you're risking losing the game. I put it on LaFleur because any false start, any penalty on you is a 10-second runoff. And did you not notice that Ron Torbert's crew is the most flag-happy of flag-throwing crews out there? They were really risking it there. And, of course, they let the clock just wind down and wind down because in LaFleur's dumb mind, he's like, well, if we get stalled on this drive and we kick a field goal, we know Brandon McManus has such a big leg that we don't want to leave them too much time. You're thinking way too far ahead, LaFleur. Win the fucking game. Be aggressive. Didn't go for it on 4th and 2 at the plus side of the field early in the game. And of course, special teams, once again, downloaded a virus to this game for the Packers. And I did tweet, for those three of you that noticed, after the Packers scored to make it what I thought would be 14-0, and they were dominating the first quarter against a known shit defense. By the way, the Cowboys have the number one offense in the league at over 400 yards per game, and they got the dead last fucking defense in the league. I wonder, has any team ever had that at the end of the year? Right now, the Cowboys have it on both ends. Number one offense, number dead last defense. But I thought at 14-0 dominating, this game was over. So I think I typed game over. And then as soon as I hit send and post on that, they blocked the extra point and ran it back for two. And this is what I like to call when a game downloads a virus, when your team downloads a virus, like with your computer. You don't notice things getting all weird on your computer right away. Just like in the game, you go, all right, it's 13-2. What's the big deal? You've downloaded a virus. That was a weird thing that shouldn't have happened. Your special teams suck. Rich Bisaccia, what is it that you do around here. I mean, seriously. So, yeah. Okay. They download a virus, and then the game gets weird. Then LaFleur gets absurdly over-aggressive at the end of the first half, calling back-to-back deep seven-step drops for Jordan Love. The O-line can't protect. The second of those two, strip sack. And, of course, the Cowboys throw a touchdown right after that. Boom, done. Are you kidding me? We're trailing at halftime. Then at the end of the game, end of regulation, he plays conservative. Frustrating and also annoying because now, at the end of the year, you're going to have to do all the mental gymnastics of, so it's half game. It's a half a win. It's also half a loss. So let's see, we're ahead of these guys, but we're behind those. The scenarios this December are going to be a nightmare. Of course, the NFL doesn't have to have it this way. They could just say, first of all, I'd like to go back to the regular sudden death overtime. Oh, it's a coin flip. Too bad. You had 60 minutes of fair. Now there's going to be a little bit of randomness. The winning team in the coin flip era of sudden death football, the coin flip winner only won the game 52% of the time. That's it. It's a 4% spread. Not that big of a deal. And then, of course, they shorten the overtime because, well, safety. We are concerned about the health of these players. The fuck you are. You are not concerned about the health of NFL players. Use them, hype them, milk them, throw them away. There's more coming where that came from. So, yeah, hate ties. I hate the new overtime rules. Feel like I wasted 3.5 hours, got very little sleep, couldn't put out this podcast because the game went so damn long, and that's that. Let's get to the Ryder Cup, and then I'll back end it with some NFL stuff. This got very, very interesting before the Europeans finally got Shane Lowry, that sometimes profane but otherwise likable Irish Teletubby, to make the putt of his life. And poor Russell Henley. You know, he's the third-ranked player in the world. How did that happen exactly? What does he want? Like, you ever seen Russell Henley as you're sitting on the couch taking a nap or lying on the couch taking a nap as a golf fan? You wake up and you're like, oh, wow, Russell Henley's cooking today. Steady, consistent, excellent player, normally excellent putter. Played very well in singles, but he had a chance, 17 and 18, to bury for good the profane Irish Teletubby known as good old Shane Lowry, and he couldn't do it. And he left the putt on 18 short. Oh, my God. 9-footer for all the glory, for the roars, for the sound exploding and cascading down from the towering grandstands, the kind of, you know, adulation and ovation that Cam Young got, that Justin Thomas got. It was there for you too, Russell, and you left. Oh, my God. You have to live with that now forever. You're going to wake up in a cold sweat in the dead of night. Ah! I just dreamed that I left a putt short to win my match on 18 at the Ryder Cup. No, you didn't dream that. That actually happened. We have a highlight of it. I can show you on my phone here. Do you want me to show you? No, don't show it to me on my phone. Anyway, it was a runaway early. The U.S. put on a hell of a fight Sunday. It provided compelling television for an otherwise fucked up Ryder Cup on multiple fronts, but mostly by the PGA of America that is getting properly ripped as a clown show organization for this simple reason. The Europeans and the European Tour, the DP World Tour, which owns the revenues with their side of the cup when it's played in Europe, they have a organization and a plan on winning these events. They have people in the pipeline, captains in the pipeline, vice captains in the pipeline. They have this thing called the Sevi Cup, in which they play match play against each other to get ready for match play golf. They believe in analytics. They listen to analytics. They apply the analytics, unlike our guys. They have a plan in place. The PGA of America, the counterpart, when this event is here, they're like, how much money can we make? Let's go. And you should have known what the U.S.'s approach would be when you saw the Ryder Cup or the PGA of America selling these at-home watch party kits meant to mimic what the Masters does, but selling them for double or triple the price. And all you got was like cups, napkins, and a banner, and a window cling. Okay, great, thanks. How much is it? $1,000. Get fucked. Ticket prices for this Ryder Cup were through the roof, although the Sunday prices plummeted on the secondary market, which probably allowed a lot of European fans in, which is why it was louder than it should have been for the Euros. And of course, I got bullied. I got bullied by my golf buddies into not betting Europe plus 170 at the start of the week. Well, you can't do that. You can't bet on them. What are you, un-American? I was called every name in the book, including commie, filthy commie, stinking commie, and blood money, and everything else. And I said, okay, fine. I won't bet them. I don't really hate any of the players, including many of the Europeans. I hate Cantley. He's the one guy I cannot stomach. But these are all gods among men when it comes to the game I love. These are all guys that do things on a golf course that are hard to imagine. I mean, I'm sitting there watching Cam Young stand over that putt on 18 thinking, oh my God, look at all the people here. Look at all the people here. And it's like, how do you even draw the putter back at that point? Any tiny little twitch or angle or flick of the wrist or twitch of the forearm when you're trying to make that putt and that thing is missing. And he stood there calm, 50,000 people staring at him. You going to make this? You going to make this? And he made it. And it was amazing. So I love that part of it. I hold all these guys in incredible awe. The Europeans, they care for it more. They hammer that home to their guys. They have a system in place. PGA of America got caught flat-footed with the captain. They're like, oh, shit, I thought Tiger would want this one because we excommunicated Phil. He's on LIV. We're not going to have him be a captain. Keegan, would you want to do this? Because you got snubbed by Zach Johnson as a captain's pick last time. So they got the wrong guy. Keegan made crucial mistakes, admitted to that, with the course setup. Course was the easiest course the tour, I think, has played on, according to the numbers, according to strokes gained and under par averages. Easiest course the tour would have played on in like 20 years. With the rough cut and being so wet and ball in hand for all 3 days, I mean, come on. These are supposed to be the best guys in the world. You'd like to see some guys scramble for par to win a hole, not just make it a birdie fest, a putting contest, which the Americans got trounced. Because Europe, once again, made more putts. Why? I don't know. If you look at the putting stats of Europeans versus Americans, there's no noticeable difference. It's literally just they seem to come up big in the moment in this event. So Keegan didn't set up the course right. He fucked up the pairings with the English-Morikawa combo, which was just stupid. It was the worst combo analytically to go with on day one, and he went back to it again the next day. Even had him teeing off on the wrong holes on the first day. It's like, come on, wake up, will you? And then there's the case of Scheffler. Scheffler's got to figure out, because he was luggage, and I said this before the event, I go, you know, the biggest wild card to me is our world's number one going to be a horse? Is he going to win 3-4 points? I mean, he dominates the regular season in golf. What's he going to do in match play? He's played match play in college. He knows what it's all about. Well, the world's number one was luggage again, and he had a chance on Friday, I think it was, 18, to stick a wedge in tight, make birdie, win the match, and he kerchunked it into the bunker. Shocking. Terrible. What the hell was that? The event doesn't quite sit well with him. It doesn't resonate with him on a certain level. I know he got emotional last time in Rome because he played like ass. He said all the right things about the teammates and being part of the team and the guys and everything else. I don't think he doesn't care. But he's got to figure out, all right, what does it mean to me? Because Rory, this is what it means to him. This was Rory after the demolition that he suffered at Whistling Straits.
Incredibly proud to be a part of this team, to be a teammate of all these guys, the captain, the vice captains. We've had a great time. You know, it looks like it's not going to pan out the way we want on the golf course. You know, I've been extremely disappointed that I haven't contributed more for the team. I'm glad I got a point on the board today for them, but it's been a tough week, and the more and more I play in this event, I realize that it's the best event in golf, bar none. And I love being a part of it. I can't wait to be a part of many more. Yeah, it's the best.
That was him at Whistling Straits showing his emotion and vulnerability. After they won in Rome, he said, look, we're taking this thing to the States.
I've said this for the last probably 6 or 7 years to anyone that will listen. I think one of the biggest accomplishments in golf right now is winning an away Ryder Cup. And that's what we're going to do at Bethpage.
Go on, Roars.
Yeah, you go. Oh, go on, Roars. And then there was this about him saying, fuck you. Or no, he said, shut the fuck up to fans, and then sticking it to 3 feet.
That bunker's looking tasty.
Guys, shut the
fuck up. Oh, fuck.
With all that in mind, everything you go through, how satisfying is it to turn around to someone and say, quote, shut the F up, and then stiff it to 2 feet?
Very f***ing satisfying.
Congratulations.
It wasn't stiff. It wasn't stiff. I had to put it.
I mean, that's funny. How can you hate a guy like Fleetwood? Fleetwood's a great guy. I wish he was on our team. He's not. But back to the PGA of America, the whole operation of the first tee and the MC and the music and the chants that weren't hitting, they had this comedian, Heather McDonald, who had to step down because she got caught up in the moment and actually said on the microphone, as somebody employed by the PGA of America, a organization meant to grow the game and all the virtues of the game, sportsmanship, class, leadership, got caught up in the moment and on the mic said, fuck you, Rory. And with that, you go, no, this is not what we're all about. So the PGA of America needs to get their arms around this. They need to get ahead of the captaincy, figure out what they're doing for the next cycle. Don't do all this analytical work on good pairings and matchups and course setup and then just ignore it, which is what Keegan Bradley did. You got to be able to say no to certain players that are not playing to form but might have a great resume or might have an endorsement deal with a major sponsor like BMW. Colin Morikawa was the easiest, not second guess, but first guess to be included on this thing. And you're like, Morikawa sucked. He hasn't done much of anything lately. And his putting is awful. Like his putting statistically this year was dog shit. He's a great iron player, but his putting sucks. So don't bring him to a putting contest. Oh, but who is Colin Morikawa in ad after ad for? BMW. Era, we have major sponsors sponsoring this event. Major corporations sponsoring this event. So take it to courses that are interesting and hard, which they're not doing anymore. They're going to Hazeltine in 2029 when it's back here, which is a nice, lovely field of grass and trees in Minnesota with lots of spaces for grandstands and corporate tents and merchandise pavilions. Yay. The days of getting a cool, interesting, truly exclusive private venue like Brookline at 99, where it's firm and fast like it was. Go back and look at the highlights of 99. Those are over. And by the way, no more envelope. And no more ties. Like, just make it sudden death. No more ties, no more envelope stuff. Because on the one hand, you're like, shit, we could have used that half point. On the other hand, there's no guarantee that Harris English would have beaten even a crippled Victor Hovland or a hurting Victor Hovland. And the notion of, oh, my arm, it's broken, I can't go. Well, then you should lose. That's how it is in the Solheim Cup. Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open on a literally fractured leg. That had his doctors known about it, would have said, are you crazy? You can't play golf. Played 72 holes, then 18 more holes, wincing in pain on the golf course, still won, beat Rocco Mediate. You can't have this envelope thing where like, oh, I'm out. Give me a half point. If you're out, you're out. You lose. Point to the team that showed up to play. Winners in this whole thing, Rory McIlroy. Incredible week for him to go 3-1-1 and endure the bullshit that he endured. I mean, they're really, the event shouldn't go back there ever. I wish there'd never be another major at Bethpage because, A, the course is not that interesting. Yeah, I know it's a Tillinghast original, and it's been restored wonderfully. I'd like to play it sometime, but as a venue, it's overrated, especially if it's going to be that soft. And the New York fans don't deserve it. And I'm sorry for all the good New York fans. It's the 1% of you assholes that ruin it for you, so that's why you should not get good things. You should have to watch good things from afar. You don't deserve it. This was unnecessary. Shane Lowry, big winner. Cam Young, big winner. This will help his career immeasurably. Paul McGinley, big winner. So good on television. So fair as a guy you know was pulling hard and deeply for Team Europe, and they even let him root on air. Did you notice that NBC said, we're going to have Brad Faxon and Paul McGinley be welcome to root for their team if they want. They don't have to pretend to be neutral. But even McGinley was so sensible that he was like, man, I don't know. We're scrapping for bits right now, he said on Sunday. We're scrapping for bits. The losers, Beth Page, New York fans, PGA of America, Harris English, who had the worst Ryder Cup ever, played twice, got destroyed twice, then got enveloped on Sunday. Russell Henley, poor guy, is going to have to look at that putt coming up short the rest of his life. And TV viewers were the big loser because, Jesus, the ad load was absurd and insane. And the playing through, here's the thing, playing through doesn't work. Playing through, unfortunately, dumps you out of a commercial in the middle of what could be a great highlight. It's not the way to do it. If you got to go to break, go to break. Make sure if there's a big putt that we missed, cue it up and say this was moments ago on 15 and then play it with the full sound and everything else. But it's money. It's the PGA's absolute shameless money grab. Still enjoyed the hell out of it, though, when it was all said and done. Didn't like the brown. Oh, yeah, losers. The guy who picked the brown uniforms or the rust uniforms for Team Europe on Saturday.
Look, I know what you're thinking. Here's the bald guy talking about hair loss treatments. Well, the irony is not lost on me, folks. But here's the thing. Hims isn't just about hair restoration. They're tackling real health issues that some guys deal with but just don't want to talk about or wait in the doctor's waiting room. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. They offer convenient access to prescription treatments with doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can stop hair loss and even regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments, no waiting rooms, no hoops, no hidden fees. Think of Hims as your digital front door for trusted treatments. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Go to Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. Okay, let's get to some NFL, then we'll put a wrap on this late edition on a Monday of the ZabeCast solo show today. Week four on a roll. Steelers beat the Vikings in Ireland 24-21 to move to 3-1. Aaron Rodgers, 18 of 22, 200 yards and a touchdown. It's the best, most consistent quarterbacking they've had in a long time. Vikings fall to 2-2. The only bad thing about this trip was Skylar Thompson was jumped and injured out at a bar, I guess, on Saturday night. Minor injuries, thank God for that. Goodell said he wants an international game for every team in the league every year in the next 5 to 10 years, and they're probably going to get it because they're whores for that. The Steelers have a bye this week. The Vikings move on to Cleveland in London, a two-week Euro two-step. And I need to mop something up from last week. Charch was unaware, as I was unaware, that there will still be 8 home Viking games this year. They're giving up one game, which would be their possible 9th game, because it switches between 9 home, 8 home, 9 home, 8 home. They're giving up a 9th home game, and they're giving up a road game to play these two games over there in Ireland and then in London. The Patriots destroy the Panthers 42-13. Marcus Jones with an 87-yard punt return for a touchdown. Had a 61-yarder as well, not for a touchdown. Bryce Young looks absolutely like dog shit these days. 18-30 for 150 yards. There was a red rifle sighting with Andy Dalton. The Patriots are 2-2. They're at Buffalo. The Panthers are now 1-3, and they host Miami. The Lions had no problems with the Browns. 34-10, your final. Khalif Raymond with a punt return for a TD. There was a Dylan Gabriel sighting in this game because Flacco stunk again. 2 interceptions and a fumble. He was 16-34. Woof. And, of course, the shots of Shedeur Sanders looking very pained are going viral on the internet. And it's only a matter of time before they put Shedeur in there because that's how it's going. For the Browns, who are now 1-3, they host Minnesota. Or they don't host, but they play Minnesota over in London. The Lions are at Cincinnati next week. They improve to 3-1. The Giants beat the Chargers thanks to Jackson Dart in his first start. He was only 13-20, but he ran, and he was tough, and he put his nose in there, and Brian Daboll loved it. Didn't hurt that the Chargers were their own worst enemy in this game. Malik Nabers might have blown out his knee, though, for the Giants. I think that is now confirmed on a Monday morning. Omarion Hampton had a big day for the Chargers in the loss. 12 carries, 128 yards. And a touchdown. Giants improved to 1-3. They're at New Orleans. The Chargers 3-1. They host the Commanders. The Bills did not cover their big lumber against the Saints. 31-19, your final score. A game that was closer than the score would appear. Fourth quarter, it's like a one-score game, and basically the Bills have to push the Josh Allen do-something button. And so he did, a 27-yard run in the fourth quarter. Then he hits Dalton Kincaid for a 28-yard touchdown pass. And that pretty much was it. The Saints had 9 drives. The first 9 drives they had of the game, they ended in Bills territory, but couldn't make much hay out of it. The Saints have now trailed 220 minutes in this young football season. They're bad in their 0-4. They host the Giants next week. The Bills host New England in a primetime game as they go to 4-0. The Eagles are 4-0. As they beat the Buccaneers 31-25, but hold the phone on this. I saw this in the recap. They said the Eagles were held to -1 net yards in the second half, and Jalen Hurts was 0-for-8 after halftime. And I said, wait a minute. That can't be right. That's got to be a mistake. You know, like we're living in a day and age of fake news and AI-generated videos. and memes and all this stuff. Like, hold on a second. And then I looked it up and I was like, Jesus, talk about looking like shit offensively. That led AJ Brown to post this and then delete it real quick. This from his Instagram account, but he ported it over to Twitter. He said, if you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and beyond your way. I don't know where that quote comes from, but he did credit at buytheblood.co, which maybe is some motivational or life improvement website or program. But yeah, AJ Brown is pissed. AJ Brown has 12 catches on the year. Yesterday, Puka Nacua had 13 alone in their game against the Colts. More on that coming in a second. Those are pretty incredible numbers when you look at them. There was two fake tush pushes in this game that were really elegantly designed. The Buccaneers are one of the better tush push defenders. I'm a little surprised the Eagles showed those on film this early in the year. They're probably going to want to have, maybe they got more versions of it in their back pocket, but very creative, and we'll see if they use something like that again. Buccaneers are at Seattle next week. They're 3-1. The Eagles host Denver at 4-0. The Texans beat the Titans 26-0. That's not the story here. The story is, does it matter if your number one pick is a very talented, you know, person, player, talented guy in Cam Young, loves football, works hard at it, has a great football IQ, but he is not into the whole, okay, I'm like a CEO in cleats. I've got to present a face for the team kind of guy. Because after getting drubbed 26-0, Cam Ward said, I got to be honest, we're terrible. And that's the white guy translation. He said, in fact, if you want to keep it a buck, we ass.
I mean, if we're keeping a buck right now, we ass. So we 0-4. We have, this point, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our f-ing games, and we've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in.
Yeah. Does it matter that guy is your quarterback, not a running back or a wide receiver? Probably not. It's a bad look, though.
I mean, if we're keeping a buck right now, we ass. So we 0-4. We have, this point, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our f-ing games, and we've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in.
He did not exempt himself from being ass. He took full responsibility. So I want that on the record there. But I just don't know if that position, quarterback in the NFL, where you someday want to have a contract worth nearly $500 million or more, like Mahomes, I don't know if you can be up there saying,
I mean, if we're keeping a buck right now, we ass.
I mean, that sounds funny with your boys sitting around watching Monday Night Football with a plate of wings. I don't know if I want to hear that from my quarterback. Brian Callahan should so be fired, not just for the fact he didn't know how one knee equals 2 feet and what you should challenge, what you shouldn't challenge. He's just not good. Cam Ward, by the way, 10 for 26 for 108 yards and an INT. Houston with their first shutout in 15 years. The Texans are at Baltimore next week. The Titans are at Arizona. The Falcons beat the Commanders 34-27 without Jaden Daniels and without Terry McLaurin. They're up big. Commanders made it kind of interesting late. Bijan Robinson was another menace to society, 181 total yards, and Michael Penix Jr. bounced back with a good game, 20 of 26 for 313. Falcons 2-2, Commanders 2-2. Falcons have a bye. The Commanders are at the Chargers. The Rams over the Colts, 27-20, with one of the most dagger-like mistakes you've ever seen. Adonai Mitchell, not Adonai Mitchell, which is I thought that's how they pronounced it. It's spelled that way, but it's Adonai or A.D. Mitchell, makes this incredible play for the Colts to catch a pass, to slither through two defenders, juke them, zip down the sideline, and as he's going in for the score, which would have probably won the game, he takes the ball out of his left arm where it was tucked tightly with the point in his hand and the other point in the crook of his elbow, just like you're taught. Keep it tight there. took it out of that to switch it to his right hand so he could then hold it up in triumph as he crossed the goal line at 24 miles per hour or whatever the top speed would be according to next-gen stats. And as he was doing so, the ball... It's like dropping your phone into the toilet pre-flush. Oh, God, how did that happen? You got to be more careful. I feel bad for the kid because I didn't think it was that egregious of a showboating move. It wasn't like laying it behind you at the one. It was just, oh, fuck, dude. What did you do? You dropped it there. And I, for one, am all in favor of the rule. Fumbles through the end zone are touchbacks for the other team. Respect the goal line, respect the ball. Mitchell also had a terrible holding penalty on a big run by Jonathan Taylor that went for a touchdown. That also would have helped him out. Colts were frisky, but they didn't win this game. 27-20, the Rams prevailed. 2-2 Atwell with an 88-yard touchdown from Stafford. Daniel Jones was good again. So there you go. The Rams are home against the Niners. That'll be a big game. Both teams 3-1. The Colts are 3-1. They are home against the Raiders this coming week. The Jaguars over the Niners, 26-21. But that was a side story to the post-game dust-up between Liam Cohen, head coach of the Jags, and Robert Saleh, now back defensive coordinator for Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Saleh, who is ripped, I mean an Adonis, had said during the week, you know, Liam Cohen and his staff, they're really good at stealing signals. Legally, of course. I mean, I admire them doing it, but they're good at stealing signals. And even though he meant it as a compliment and emphasized it was, quote, legal, it was not taken well after the game, after Cohen and the Jaguars won, forcing, by the way, four turnovers. Jaguars lead the league in turnovers, forced with 13 of them. They are an absolute hard-hitting, ball-hawking, ball-dislodging group on defense. He said, keep your name out of my mouth to Saleh as they crossed paths and did not shake hands. Saleh then reportedly said, you don't want to fuck with me. I will end your fucking life. I will ruin you. Wow. Okay. Come on now, fellas. I think Liam Cohen is being a bit sensitive, and I think that Robert Saleh is being a bit of a fake tough guy, so can't we all just get along? Brock Purdy came back in this game, but had two interceptions, 309 yards, and two touchdowns. However, 92 of those yards went to McCaffrey, and their wide receiver production with all these injuries still continues to be a labor every week, and Ricky Pearsall hurt his knee in this game, so they could be down another guy in this one. Niners are 3-1. They're at the Rams, and the Jaguars host Kansas City on Monday Night Football at 3-1. The Chiefs. How about them Chiefs? They destroy the Ravens 37-20, but the big story here is Lamar Jackson with a hamstring injury. Can you hear my air quotes? Because the game was well out of reach in the second half. The Ravens came in with a decimated defensive line. My buddy Jim West, who I played golf with Sunday morning, I said, how do you feel about this game today? He goes, oh, we're going to lose. I go, really? Why? He goes, we have no defensive linemen. Mahomes is going to have all the time in the world to pick us apart. And boy, was Jim West right. Jim West knows ball. Anyhow, Lamar exited the game with a hamstring injury, allegedly. Many people didn't believe it, and they were kind of like, I don't know, and they're pulling shots of him on the sideline. They were looking at his body language. And some are saying he quit on his team. It doesn't matter. If the injury was real, of course he should have been out. And if the injury was fake, who the fuck cares? They were losing. And at some point, you have to realize we're not winning this game. Protect your star players. Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdowns, 270 yards, 9 receivers caught passes for the Chiefs, who are spreading it around. And they are going to get Rashee Rice back in 2 weeks' time. So, yes, they are getting better, the Chiefs. God, killing me. And then the Bears beat the Raiders 25-24 with a great game-winning drive by Caleb Williams. And they beat the Bears, and they're 2-2. The Bears beat the Raiders. They're 2-2. The Raiders fall to 1-3 in this game. Big game, of course, for Ashton Jeanty. Why not? As soon as I'm out, in guillotine leagues because I took Ashton Jeanty in the first round like an idiot. He has a big game. Bears are on a bye this week. The Raiders, meanwhile, go to Indianapolis. Two games tonight. Did I make a pick on those on Friday during You Are Looking Live? I think I did. So whoever I picked there, I'm sure it's going to suck and not come home. I did get, let's get the results here from You Are Looking Live. Hold on. You know what? Don't have the results just yet. John Wheeler, my man, you're going to send them to us after the conclusion of tonight's game. Plural. I'll end on this. Bad Bunny was selected as the halftime musical act at the Super Bowl. Bad Bunny, the so-called Latin trap king, has no songs in English. Bad Bunny, a guy who is a crossdresser at times and a guy who vowed to never perform in the U.S. again with Trump now president and ICE conducting immigration enforcement. Now he gets the Super Bowl? Okay, sure. There's a lot of people out there spinning it and defending the NFL for what is the worst choice ever for a Super Bowl halftime show. Rock Nation, of course, is running it. And this is now seven straight years since they took over that they have not chosen a white artist of any kind. Okay. So Bad Bunny it is. In San Francisco or in Santa Clara, Bay Area, the host city and Rock Nation collaborate on who will be the halftime show. So you figure that one out. Rock Nation and the Bay Area. Is it any shock you get someone like Bad Bunny? It's absurd. The whole argument from those who are spinning it is, well, the NFL wants to increase their audience, and this will hit the Hispanic demographic so they can watch more football. People that, there are Hispanics who love American tackle football and are American citizens. And so this is not going to make any bump whatsoever. This was a calculated, oh yeah, fuck you. What are you going to do about it? And they also couldn't get Taylor Swift. They wanted Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, according to reports, wanted to have control of the footage of her performance. The NFL said, no. This is still our stage. So yeah, we're going to own the footage and the rights to do with it what we want. And Taylor Swift said, yeah, nah, don't need you. So it's Bad Bunny. I guess I need to learn some songs like this one that's playing right now. I actually had to Google Bad Bunny best songs. So yeah, including this song, Where She Goes. I don't even know what this is. Where She Goes. All right, well, I'll go make a sandwich, get a snack at halftime, take a piss, and yeah, there'll be lights, there'll be pyrotechnics, there'll be dancers, there'll be hot women in scantily clothed outfits. I guess I got to brush up on my Spanish between now and the Super Bowl. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry it was late. Better late than never. I hope you enjoyed this little 40-minute or so run from me. I have several more note cards of stuff to get to tomorrow, and I assure you I will do just that and get back on schedule here in no time. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, everyone, and we will see you next time. You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half $1 million to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.